The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? That thing that you want to do, that you've been thinking about, that you've been pondering, ruminating on, maybe you're doing some research on it. Maybe you've even made some plans. You're lining up all the dots on a piece of paper, the back of a cocktail napkin, in your head. You're shooting yourself notes on email, or maybe you've got some kind of a file created with all the ideas for whatever that thing is that you want to do. It's natural. It's natural to want to wait. It's natural to want to be prepared, to be ready. Looking for that right time. But you know there's not going to be a right time. Maybe you're waiting for somebody to give you permission. But you know, deep down, nobody's ever going to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, John, hey, Stacy, it's time. I've selected you. I'm giving you permission to do that thing finally." And then you start doing it, and it's magical, and it all works out. It's lots of movies and stories of that happening, of something going viral, of you saying some crass term like Haktua, and all of a sudden being launched into the stratosphere of internet fame, stories of being discovered, or maybe American Idol, a Susan Boyle type story. So could that happen to you? I suppose it could. Will it happen to you? The odds are very, 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 very low. And even if it were possible, are you putting yourself in those kinds of positions where you could get potentially discovered? But anyway, I just don't think that that is an actionable plan. I don't think that we can plan to make something go viral. And I'm not trying to be a negative person here, because if that's something that you think that you're going to do, well, then by all means, continue pursuing it. But if you're waiting and you're not taking action, you're waiting, I encourage you to stop. Whatever you're waiting for, just stop waiting. And then whatever it is that you want to do, start a business, write a book, start a speaking career, start playing tennis, golf, pickleball, start a new hobby, playing guitar, whatever. Maybe you want to ask somebody out. Maybe you want to go into a new environment or pursue whatever it might be. Stop waiting. Just start. Favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes. I've got so many favorite quotes. To begin, begin. So, and I know I've sure been there. I've been in that position where it felt like the conditions weren't right yet. It's not yet. It's not my time. But probably the thing that's held me back from doing the things that I've wanted to do but put off doing was the feelings of, who am I to do that? Who am I to start a podcast? Who am I to just put my ideas out in the world? I think that that's fundamentally, if you were to boil it all down, because I wanted to do it for a really long time. I would tell people, gosh, what year would that have been? Probably in 2012 or 2013. I was telling people I'd like to start a blog because I always enjoyed writing. And I just not done it for a really, really, really long time. And so I was talking a lot about it. So it was in my head, rattling around, and I was researching, looking at blogs back when blogs were a pretty big thing, I suppose, which sounds kind of funny coming out of my mouth. But I was looking at lots of them. I was like, oh, these are really cool. I could write a lot. But it took me a really long time to start doing it. In fact, it took me until I started the Figure Out podcast in 2016. And then I started essentially this podcast in 2018. But then I started writing again, probably not until 2019 or 2020, maybe even a little bit later than that. So 6, 7, 8, 9 years, a lot of waiting. So I've totally been there. And again, for me, it was just being reluctant because, again, who am I to do this? And I think to a degree, that's a fairly healthy thing to think, to have some modicum of self-doubt or reluctance or apprehension. But now in the rear view, looking at that, those feelings in the rear view mirror, it was pretty silly. It was pretty silly of me because the reality is, well, there's several realities, is that there's very, very few people that know exactly what it is that they're talking about. Vast, vast majority, people that you are looking at online, people that you're paying attention to, famous people, thought leaders, they are flying by the seat of their pants in some form or fashion. It certainly were when they started doing it. And then they've evolved into it. It sort of rounded it out. They figured it out. But make no mistake, I think it's a healthy thing to have those kinds of feelings. Otherwise, you're probably some form of psychopath or sociopath or something like that, where you have no doubt in your abilities. You have no doubt about what it is that you're looking to do. The rest of us, the rest of us do harbor some form of self-doubt. In fact, I had on a gentleman who headed up Google's incubator program for 20 years, and he wrote a book called The Bonfire Moment. And I apologize to him that I'm not going to be able to recall his name right now. But one of the things that he said, and that he said that he coaches every one of his entrepreneurs on, is that self-doubt will be your companion on your entire journey. So, founding companies, doing something artistic, writing, always going to be there. And it's just not a healthy thing to let that stop you from doing what it is that you want to do. And I know just from my personal experience that because I suffered from that, that there's other aspects of my life, lots of other aspects of my life that I did not suffer from that. You can look back on my life and the things that I've done and accomplished, which I don't know is sort of an odd thing to kind of rehash with you, but just to give evidence of that I've been fearless in many areas and apprehensive in some, I think that that's a worthwhile thing. So I think that there's probably a part of me when I was a kid, I wanted to be a really successful tennis player, and I was. Worked really hard at it, and I was a nationally ranked junior tennis player, and went on to compete at the Division I level. I got a Division I scholarship, and it was through an immense amount of hard work. So I decided I wanted to do something. I set my mind to it, and sure, there was doubt and apprehension, but nothing was going to stop me from doing it because I really wanted to do it badly. I started out as a financial advisor when I was 22 years old. It's my first job out of college. And I don't think that there was a lot of self-doubt in that one. I think that I was pretty convinced of my abilities and my work ethic just based on my record of success as an athlete. So that helped me to do it. But now just I spent 10 years as the president of an alumni association, and I don't know, and I did that from about 30 to age 30 to about 40, and I don't know that that I had a ton of doubt around that, but I should have. But I think that as you go and you analyze different things in your life, The whole point of this is, while you are confident and ready in certain areas, it's okay to not be confident and feel ready in other areas. And those feelings of reluctance that you have, it's a very, very natural thing. So, but that doesn't mean that it's serving you at all. In fact, I think that it's doing kind of the opposite of that. It is precluding you and preventing you from doing something that you really want to do. And there's so many different reasons why it is that we are doing that. That's self-doubt. But then there's also the anxiety and the nervousness of, if I make something and I put it out into the world, what will people think? So it's self-doubt that I'm not good enough, but then also just I'm nervous about subjecting myself to criticism, to people dissecting my ideas or my thoughts or my work, and I don't want to go through that. And I totally get that too. Those are natural feelings, but it's not, those are not good reasons to not do the thing that you want to do. Life is way, 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 way too short to allow those kinds of feelings to stop you from doing something that you have decided that you want to do. I think fundamentally, whatever it is that you want to do, I think that what you want is what you want. I had a recent podcast guest say to me, God wouldn't give you a desire if it weren't possible. And I thought that was pretty powerful, pretty profound.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Pretty interesting statement to make. I don't know. What do you think about that? God wouldn't give you a desire if it weren't possible. So, upon reflection, I think that I agree with that. And I've also always known that desire is the common denominator of success. So desire is the common denominator of success. If you want to get something done, you need to really want to do it. Because you're going to face all of those headwinds that I was talking about. But desire is the starting point for doing anything meaningful or worthwhile. So there's a framework that I've thought through and that I've used, although I didn't realize that I was using it in the past. And I think that it's important because it's a universal thing. You can take and apply this in any arena that you're interested in doing something in. So if you follow these steps, I think that you'll get there regardless of what it is that you're trying to do. If you want to lose weight, you can use this. If you want to become a thought leader, speaker, whatever it is, public intellectual, do this. You want to get stronger, do this. You want to have a great relationship with somebody, you want a new relationship, you want a better relationship, you want to start a business, you can follow these steps. And I think that that'll help you to get there. And I know that for me, I always want a track to run on, and I want to give people actionable steps to follow, because I'm not fond of telling somebody, hey, just do it. Incredible slogan, sold a lot of sneakers, but not great advice or helpful advice to somebody when they're feeling apprehensive or uncomfortable about things. So instead of just doing it, follow these steps. And I think that you will get certainly a lot closer, if not well on your way, or doing what it is that you want to do. So the first step is, whatever it is that you're interested in doing, you have to examine your existing beliefs and emotions around that thing. Okay. So the first thing, let's talk about becoming physically fit and strong. And let's talk about that in the context of, if it's always a tricky thing these days, but let's talk about if I were coaching you up, and you are a woman and you are interested in getting into weight training because you want to be strong. So let's just say that you want to join a gym and just become a stronger, healthier person. But there's a lot that's keeping you from joining a gym, that's keeping you from lifting weights or doing strength training. There's a lot keeping you from starting to run. And those existing beliefs and emotions around that could be, just to go through an example of, you think that if you start lifting weights, that you'll develop big muscles, and that your perception of that is you will not be very feminine. No, I couldn't. I think that that couldn't be farther from the truth. That's just me. But I'm talking about perhaps this is something that our fictional character, these are things that are on her mind. Because maybe there was another person in her life, her mom or her dad, her parents, brother or sister, that said, oh, muscles on girls are really gross. Maybe something like that. If you have that in the back of your head, there's no doubt, from my perspective, that you are going to have a difficult time getting into strength training. So you need to really dig in. Say, okay, I'm feeling really apprehensive. I'm getting a lot of resistance moving into this new thing. So I'm having a hard time going to the gym. Having a hard time joining the gym because I'm not necessarily comfortable being in a gym environment. I don't know what to expect. I've never been in one before. Are they going to be mean to me? People going to be rude? I don't know what to do. So there's a lot going on there. So you're nervous about it. You're apprehensive. You're worried that you're going to turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger or Hulk Hogan, and you're not interested in doing that. Fine. You know, let's dig into those beliefs and dispel those beliefs. And you could take this again and think about it from an entrepreneurship perspective. Like, oh my gosh, it's an impossible thing to start a business. Those are the things that you believe. You're going to have a really hard time being successful doing it. So good news about negative beliefs, some existing belief that you're carrying with you, is that you can change it. You can change a negative belief. You can rewire your thinking. Okay. But the first step is, just try to investigate why it is that you think what it is that you're thinking, why it is you feel, and that'll give you some indication or evidence that you maybe have some kind of a negative or limiting belief around whatever the thing is that you're interested in doing. Step number two is you need to decide how you would like to think and feel about the thing that you want to do. So you have choice. And this is one of the most wonderful things that we as human beings have. You get to choose how you think and feel about everything. You. Nobody else controls that. Nobody else decides how you think about things or how you feel about things. You have absolute agency over that process. So you get to decide, in this example, how you think and feel about becoming a strong person. You get to define what it means to be a strong person, what it means to be a strong woman, what it means to be a fit, healthy woman. Going to our example about somebody's apprehensive about weight training, but you remember from just a second ago. So you get to decide. So think about, how would I like to think and feel about this? Obviously, there was some reason that you decided you wanted to get into it. So maybe it was because, and I'll just play that character, said, well, I'd like more energy. I'd like to be able to more easily pick up my kids, or I'd like to be able to compete in sports with them, or whatever. So there's a million different reasons why you would want to be stronger. Perhaps I saw my parents age and they weren't able to do a lot of things because they were pretty, they were not very strong. They were pretty frail when they got older. And I don't want that. I want to be as strong as I possibly can be for as long as I possibly can be. So that's awesome. Those are really compelling reasons for getting into strength training, for becoming more fit. Next step, step number three, is to get really clear on what your fitness goals are, but more importantly, what that life is that you really want. So she says to me, I want to be able to, like I just said, be strong into my 70s, maybe even into my 80s. I want to be able to be physically independent. But for right now, I'm in my late 30s. I've got some young kids. I want to be able to be strong enough to do all the things that I just described. And I feel like I am starting to be diminished physically and I can't do a lot of the things or some of the things that I used to be able to do. And I appreciate that as I get older, I'm not going to be able to, or it'll be harder to do those things unless I do something about it. So my goals are, I want to get considerably stronger, want to lose a little bit of weight, and I want to be able to run a mile. Awesome. Really good. Those are excellent goals. So the next is to decide on your course of action and to create a plan. So how do we do that? So first and foremost, you need to figure out, okay, I want to do these things. I want to be stronger. I want to be able to run. So I need to be stretching. I need to join that gym. And since I don't necessarily know how, because I don't know how to lift weights because I've never been in a gym, I'm going to hire a trainer, or I'm going to speak with Francine, who I know through my work, and she's really fit. And I'm going to talk to her and see if she can take me to her gym. Whatever it is, figure out what the steps are and to create a plan. And fortunately, we can use the internet for good instead of evil, because there's so many free resources out there in whatever it is that you're interested in doing, to go and just learn about how to do these things to make a plan. Okay. And then the next step is we need to make it real, and we need to make it sustainable. So that means, how do we remove any blocks or impediments that are keeping us from actually getting that done? And there's certainly a lot of those things, certainly a lot of blocks that will be popping up. And the self-doubt thing, as it is a passenger on our journey through life, that will continually pop up. Life will get in the way and you will miss some workouts. But how can we figure out how to create new habits around doing what it is that we need to do in order to get what it is that we actually want? If something is a problem, make it a process. And when something becomes a habit, well, then we just do it. So we figure out these routines and these habits. What is the routine that I need? So the habit is what you do, and then the routine is how you do it. Okay. And sometimes, well, it's always easier if we can look at our existing habits and see if we can add this new activity to an existing habit that we have. So perhaps you're in the habit of waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning. You're an early morning person. And your current habit is that you wake up and you have a glass of water, you have some coffee, you read the paper, and you have a nice leisurely morning. Well, perhaps you could tag on to that habit and shift up your routine a little bit and add in a walk, some push-ups, making it to the gym, or you totally reshape your morning routine and you start at the gym. Or maybe you have a home gym, or you have a habit of, on your lunch break, doing something, and maybe there's an opportunity for you to make it to the gym there, or to do some kind of an exercise routine or program during that time. I think you understand what I'm trying to say here is, to make something sustainable, you have to make it not necessarily easy, but not really, really, really hard. If you decide to join a gym that's 30 minutes away from your house and it's very expensive, I do not think that that is a sustainable program for you. You have to make it pretty easy. You have to make it so there's not a million big steps to actually getting this thing done. You need to be able to execute it fairly easily, fairly consistently. So again, figure out what your existing beliefs are, your existing emotions are around the thing that you want to do. Recognize and start realizing that you get to decide how you think and feel about that thing. Get really clear in what your goals around that thing are, or how having that thing is going to change your life. Make a course of action, create a plan for bringing that desired future into current reality, and then work to make it sustainable in your life, create habits around doing the thing that you want to do, and I think that you're well on your way. I think that I know that the cost of waiting is so high. In fact, it is prohibitive. And that's simply to say is, the longer that we wait, the harder it is. If your goal is to get out of debt, well, the time is now. If your goal is to be able to retire, you need to start saving now. You want to lose weight, you want to get stronger, the time to get started with that is right now. I believe that you and I have enough time to do most everything that we want, but we don't have enough time to waste. So we have to stop waiting for our circumstances to be perfect, for them to be right, because they never will be. We have to stop waiting for somebody to give us permission, because nobody's going to come and tap us on the shoulder. I know that you're worthy of the life that you want. I know that you're deserving of the thing that you want, but you're not entitled to it. To begin, begin. As always, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.